Welcome to episode 13 of Secret Grasp. Secret Grasp is a podcast all about the difficult and mysterious aspects of life. We cover topics relating to the paranormal, occult, conspiracy theories, urban legends, and other strange occurrences. You can find us on all of the major podcasting apps, and it's also worth bookmarking our website, secretgrasp.com, just in case we ever get deplatformed. There's a lot of that going around with the big tech companies lately, so it's good to have a backup so that if the episodes just stop and you're wondering where I went, you can go look on the website, and then I'll at least have some kind of message or tell you where you can go for the podcast then. All right, so normally we talk about like more paranormal conspiracy stuff on here, but today I'm going to be talking about Chris Chan. Basically, this is just going to be about like the life of a single person. I've got my Chris Chan shirt on right here if you're watching the video version of this podcast. It says I'm famous on the internet. It's got Sonichu, which is the character that Chris Chan made. So basically, if you don't know who Chris Chan is, people say that he's the most documented person on the internet. But unless you're deeply immersed in internet culture, it's unlikely that you've ever heard the name before. And it's also maybe worth noting that for the average person, the level of detail that I'm going to go into in this episode could be considered doxing, but it's important to note that not only is all of the information that I'll be sharing today available from multiple public sources, but it's also willingly been provided by Chris Chan themselves in most cases, and it's never been retracted. So it's just kind of out there in the public. If this was like any other person, I wouldn't go into all these personal details about them, but Chris Chan is kind of an interesting case because they've lived basically their entire life on the internet. And also note that while Chris Chan is now a transgender individual, I'll be referring to him by male pronouns, and my rationale for this is pretty much the same as the YouTube video titled Why I Call Chris Chan by Male Pronouns by the YouTuber Gibby, spelled G-I-B-I. So if you're wondering why I'm so insensitive and referring to Chris by male pronouns, you can check that video out, and instead of repeating the whole thing here. So without further ado, let's discuss exactly who Chris is. So Christopher Weston Chandler was born February 24th, 1982, to Robert and Barbara Chandler of Rutgersville, Virginia. Actually, I'm not sure if they were initially from Rutgersville or not, but they're from Virginia for sure. And anyways, his father was an engineer who worked for General Electric, and his mother was an office worker at Virginia Power. And his dad, Robert Chandler, was actually really quite accomplished in his field. He had 7 patents, at least, registered to his name. Chris states that his first word was monkey when he was about 6 weeks old, although from what modern medicine tells us, it's actually impossible for a child to speak that early. The truth is that Chris showed early signs of autism. Most of that was simply genetic, although Chris claims that his autism was brought about by a traumatic event when a babysitter locked him in a dark room alone when he was about 18 months old. And after that incident, Chris didn't speak again until he was 7 years old, so he was totally mute. Chris attended Green County Primary School without incident until 1990, when he transferred to Nathaniel Green Elementary School. Chris had traumatic experiences with his babysitter and claimed as well that at the school, the teachers forcefully restrained him. And also, he claims that he was made to sit on the lap of the principal. And these events led to legal issues with the family that resulted in Chris being homeschooled until the 5th grade. It was around this time that Chris had a trip to the mall around Christmas time that would cause his name to change forever. The mall had a show of animatronic bears that would interact with guests. And it was a really slow day at the mall, so Chris basically got all of the attention. One of the bears asked Christopher for his name, but he misheard it and called him Christian. So Chris Chan took that as a sign and went by the name Christian going forward. And oddly enough, I think his dad did like an interview with a newspaper or something and said that he actually always wanted to name his son Christian, but the parents seem to have changed their their mind at the last moment, and he named him Christopher instead. I don't know if he kind of like chickened out or what. Anyways, so yeah, then he went from being Christopher to Christian going forward. And Christian and his father relocated to Richmond, Virginia, so that Chris could attend Providence Middle School, as the legal issues regarding his previous school didn't seem to be getting resolved in the courts. And this was pretty, like, a good time in Chris's life. He looks back fondly at his time at that school. Then we start to really get into the Christian lore in 1993. So Sega held a Sonic the Hedgehog contest, and Chris ended up winning that contest, and he got a $1,000 shopping spree at a toy store. And if you know anything about Chris Chan, he's like quite obsessed with this Sonic the Hedgehog, and I would say this probably like really cemented it in his life. So the contest was basically you had to watch the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon every day after school, and then they had like a secret word at the end of every episode, and you collect all the secret words and you mail them in and you win. And he ended up winning, so there's that. And then so yeah, he got to buy tons of toys, and people think maybe that is part of why he has a bit of an entitled attitude to this day, is that he like won this contest early on and basically got like showered with infinite toys that one time. But after his time at Providence Middle School, Chris attended Manchester High School. Here, Chris had a group of female friends that he referred to as his gal pals, but accounts suggest that it was actually his father, Robert, who paid these girls to keep Chris company just so he would have friends. And it was in high school that Chris first created Sonichu, which is a character that he's most well known for. Sonichu is a mix between Sonic the Hedgehog and Pikachu the Pokemon. Chris loved Pokemon, and he would dress up as the Pokemon character Ash Ketchum to attend trading card tournaments at a local game store. And I think the reason that he made Sonichu was that they had like a class project where they couldn't use copywritten characters, so he kind of got around this by mixing Sonic and Pikachu into Sonichu. So after high school, Chris attended Piedmont, Virginia Community College for marketing, but his dad transferred him into a CAD degree instead, like computer assisted design or whatever it's called. At this point, Chris lost contact with his gal pals. And while he was in college, Chris launched his Sonichu website and he started creating more characters. In winter of 2000, he made the Sonichu medallion, which is made out of Crayola model magic and acrylic paints. If you've ever seen the picture of Chris after 2000, he's basically always wearing this medallion. There's like a whole series of things that went on where like he got tricked by trolls on the internet into sending the original medallion, and they recorded videos of them like breaking it and stuff, and he had to make another one. But then he said that wasn't really the real medallion. He sent a fake one to them, and it's like this whole thing. So Chris hasn't had much success with jobs over the year either. While he was in college, he got a job at Wendy's, but he quickly got fired. Some reports say that it was because he like did a Donald Duck impression that scared a kid, but also it seems like he just had really bad work ethic too and wouldn't work very hard, or he like his outfit got dirty one time or something and he refused to change into a new outfit even though they had one at the store. So just a buildup of misunderstandings that got him fired. And in English class in high school, he wrote a paper called Exclamations That You'd Likely Hear From a Black Person in Church, and I think his teacher was actually black in that class, so obviously that got him kicked out. He got kicked out of that class. I'm not sure if he also got just like suspended from college for a while or not, but yeah, this is like these weird things that keep popping up in his life. And one of the most notorious things that Chris is known for is his love quest to find a boyfriend-free girl, as he calls it. So finding a boyfriend-free girl is difficult because of what Chris terms the infinitely high boyfriend factor, meaning that it's hard to find a girl without a boyfriend. And Chris said that he is not fond of 99.99% of men. He also invented a condition that he said he had called noviophobia, which he claims is the fear of speaking to a girl who may already have a boyfriend. So to try and get himself a girlfriend. Chris made what he called an attraction sign. It's basically like a personals ad where he would set up this big like poster board in like a hallway in his college and sit next to it in public. Or I think he would go to the mall and do this sometimes too. Basically, it said that he was 21 and single white male seeking a cute 18 to 21 year old single female companion, average to slender weight, body type white. There's a lot of like, I don't know, just like it's very explicit homophobia and racism in a lot of the stuff that Chris does. And I think because he was autistic, or maybe this is just like the early 2000s. I feel like this was also just kind of normal in the 2000s. I don't know. Anyways, at the bottom of the sign, he said, quote, "And to all men with girlfriends except married and blacks, go jump off a cliff. Have a nice day. Smiley face." So soon this sign started a conflict between Chris and Mary Lee Walsh, who was the dean of student affairs at the college. She allegedly tore up the sign right in front of him. And then I think, he basically declared that Mary Lee Walsh was his villain at that point. And in episode one of his comic, which I actually have on the shelf, I bought a copy off Amazon. She's like an evil villain in that comic, and I think some future ones as well. Chris is also a fairly accomplished musician. He made an album called Christian and the Hedgehog Boys. His most popular song is called So Need a Cute Girl, which is to the theme of I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys. At one point, Chris submitted a tape of his Animal Crossing video, like recording himself playing Animal Crossing, and then he sent that into Nintendo. And this is possibly the first ever incidence of a Let's Play, which is really interesting. Chris is really groundbreaking in a lot of ways. Like my own thoughts about Chris, I sympathize with him a lot, because although I've never been formally diagnosed, I'm pretty sure that I'm somewhere on the autism spectrum. And I can see if I didn't have like proper guidance from my parents, it's possible that I could have gone down the same path as Christian. Like I see a lot of myself in him, and I did kind of similar, like me and my friends did like making signs and all kinds of similar stuff like this. Like I could definitely see myself being a Christian without the right influence and role models. And what's depressing is that Chris is actually really creative. Like he created a whole series of comics. He's got all this music and more original art than most people will create in their lifetimes. He even created like his medallion. He's taken his own Nintendo Amiibo dolls that you can buy, and he's like crafted them with Crayola Mana Magic to make his own characters. He's got like a whole universe that he created called Quickville. It's just it's disappointing, because he seemed like he actually had a lot of potential if he had the guidance and was able to develop some discipline. I think he could have actually made some really great stuff. So if you know how the Chris Chan story turned out, I'm not going to ruin it for you yet, but it's kind of disappointing the way his life has turned out. There's also periods of his life where it looked like he was acting a lot more normal. basically like around when he was in college, you can see pictures of him. He seems like a pretty normal dude. And then you can see after his dad died, it seems like he really lost a lot of that guidance and structure in his life, and things really went downhill, basically developed mental illness beyond that point. But this is just like an introduction to Chris Chan. There's like so much to go into. This probably seems really random that I'm just doing like a biography of an autistic guy, but I really find the story of Chris Chan fascinating. To really get the most of this, you have to go really in depth. There's a series of documentaries by a YouTuber named Gino Samuel that I would recommend. I'm pretty sure that he's up to 60 parts now, and each part is an hour long, so there's a lot of content there. It's basically like a whole Netflix show that you could binge for like 60 hours straight if you wanted to. There's so much information about Chris out there. Like I said, basically his entire life has been cataloged on the internet. I'm actually not super interested in the middle section. is basically where Chris is just getting trolled by the people online over and over. I'm more interested in his early life, like the stuff that I've talked about so far, and what led him to become the person that he is. I find that really fascinating, like all the stuff that led up to this. And I'm actually a fan of a lot of the content that he made when he was in college, like the art and the music and stuff. I think it's really good. But yeah, you can also check out Chris Chan's own YouTube channel. It's Quickville Guardian. I guess I'll leave a link to that in the comments if it's still up, which is an interesting look into his life through his own videos. Most of them, they're like recorded on his PS3 or PS4 webcam. A lot of it, he's talking to someone, and without the context, it might not make a lot of sense. That also makes it funnier, but if you want the context, you're going to have to kind of watch them chronologically. Or there's also a website called The Quickie, which is like a whole Wikipedia website basically devoted entirely to Chris Chan. So you could check that out as well. Yeah, if you don't know how the Chris Chan saga is playing out to this day, basically he's in prison at the moment. I'll leave that for you to catch up on why that is. And yeah, this was just something different that I thought I would try out. I'm a big fan of Chris Chan, so I wanted to kind of get the message out there. Like when I first discovered this, I actually didn't hear about Chris Chan until probably like 2 or 3 years ago. And then I had to like take in all of it at once. And it was like days and weeks that I was just like fascinated learning everything that I could about Chris Chan. So this is just kind of like an introduction to get you interested into him and all about Sonichu and the Quickville universe and stuff. So I don't know how this episode is going to be received. It seems like it might be kind of hit or miss. Hopefully it's not too boring. If you want me to do other episodes like this about specific people like serial killers, school shooters, or something else, let me know. I don't want to turn this into a true crime podcast. I want the focus to be more on the weird, but there are some things like, I guess, Ted Kaczynski and some other people that I wouldn't mind making an episode about. So let me know what you think about that. Thanks for listening. The show notes will be on the website. If you don't know how to spell something in here, like Quickie or Sonichu, you can look at the show notes and find it on there. So those are on the website at secretgrasp.com. If you want to email me, it's secretgrasp@gmail.com. Yeah, I forgot if I had it on my website domain or not for a second. And on the website, did I already say that you can find the links to all of the places that the podcast is available on there? But if not, yeah. Next episode that I'm going to do is going to be about sea monsters and lake monsters. So stay tuned to that. Subscribe to the podcast, share it on social media, tell a friend about it, all that stuff, rate it and review it. Since we're still new, that'll really help. But that's about all. We'll be in touch.